He's like, you know what Islam means? Submission. I think submission to God is like the whole point of life. But
because they're worried about money. They're worried about dollars.
Sharia patrols have begun in Houston, Texas. I've been warning for 20 years.
Listen, if you have the authority, I would say to them.
He says, I signed laws that ban Sharia law and Sharia compounds in Texas. No business and no individual should fear fools like this.
Sharia law is bad, Seth. I don't know if you've heard that. It's bad. It's worse than what's happening in New York and Detroit. It's just bad. Sorry, Sharia law.
Work so hard to turn you against Islam. It's not about faith. It's about control. A $1 trillion alcohol industry.
That would eliminate genocide. That's not a war.
The devil's convinced the world that Islam is the problem, not porn, not drugs.
And the number one threat that we face is people becoming bad.
Make so this is President Obama talking to you directly?
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum. My next guest did something that set off dog whistles by radical extremists like Tommy Robinson all the way in the UK.
I'll tell you the truth. I was brought up a Catholic. I christened my kids a Catholic. I wish I didn't. I christened my kids a Catholic for my mum. My mum's a devout Catholic. I'm not.
Which I didn't even realize that he had some fans over here like Governor of Texas.
Governor Abbott should be ashamed of himself.
Senator Ted Cruz jumped in, and suddenly it became a wave of fear-mongering from all directions. So to get the real context of this story, we have the man himself here, Imam Qasim Khan.
We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sadly.
Do you know anything about Islam?
Not really.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sorry.
Do you know what Islam means?
Islam? No. We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
That's what you've been told, that Muslims are out to kill you all?
Well, that's what they say on TV.
Anything.
I know it's in the Middle East, isn't it?
Well, that you're going to have four wives.
There are so many Americans who don't know about Islam. We need your help to change that. Click to donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my beloved brother Eddie. How are you?
Good, alhamdulillah.
Good, alhamdulillah.
So, did you know about this video you made? It went viral.
You know, as a merchant, you have every legal right to sell whatever you want. But as a Muslim, I have a responsibility to tell you, to educate the people and let them know.
And now you got people all the way in the UK, this radical extremist talking about it. I didn't know he had fans like the governor of Texas. You got senators. You got all sorts of people jumping on this bandwagon. It seems like they're uniting on hate. Tell me, when did you become aware of this?
Well, it was about maybe a month after my last post, because I did several. There were several recordings that we did, you know, in the neighborhood, in the area, and mostly in the neighborhood that was surrounded the masjid that I lead, you know, and it was just really just a reminder. But then after about a month or so, then I began to hear. My first response I was getting was positive responses from the UK. You know, that's when I became aware that they were having the same problem over there with Muslims who were contradicting their religion by getting involved with haram merchandise. You know, and they said, we're having the same problem over here. So I said, well, I didn't realize that. I thought it was just in my neighborhood and some of the inner city neighborhoods in America. I didn't know that. So then when the politicians started chiming in, I only found out about that a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the beginning. Why did you decide to go to the business owners and try to get them to stop.
Because what I was trying to do to make them take a good look at themselves wasn't working. For the last 40 years or so, I've been talking to the Muslim store owners that were selling haram products, and I would just ask them, why are you selling this? You don't have to do this. Allah will take care of you. You know, if you just sell halal products, you don't have to do this. So I was saying it real nice to them.
Privately. 40 years.
40 years, brother. I'm not exaggerating.
Wow.
You know, in several cities that I lived in, you know, and I would go to them very, very privately, and I would tell them, you know, but it wasn't working. And so I started getting fed up. And actually, at the age that I'm at now, where I am now, I began to feel desperate because I wanted to try to encourage or influence some type of change before I have to punch my clock and check out of this world, you know. So it wasn't working, you know. And it was Einstein who said, you know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So I was trying to ask them. Even recently, just as recently as a couple of months before I started this campaign, I would go and ask them. I said, I walk into the store, they give me salams. And I'll say, you must say, yeah. I said, but you know, you're selling these things here. Why you do that? He said, well, I have to make a living.
Alcohol and gambling. Let's talk
the
about
pork.
Let's talk about those. I mean, you even had, and I made a video regarding this, that you had faith-based protests. This is a part of the American fabric, that you had Christians primarily who would protest.
Whatever happens on the sidewalk, really our focus is the women and the children and their right to choose life.
I think abortion is so terribly wrong. I have a responsibility to be here.
Stop abortion now!
Outside of City Hall in Lewiston, joined by pastors of local Baptist and evangelical churches and leaders of the Lewiston Muslim community.
We believe born and unborn babies are gifts of God as well.
The Christian community.
Joel Furrow, the director of The Root Cellar, a faith-based volunteer organization, adds while there may be historic differences between Muslims and Christians.
We stand together, united against this bill. It's way too extreme for our communities.
I mean, you even had a really strong women's group that helped. They set off the catalyst to start the prohibition of alcohol in this country.
The Women's Christian Temperance Union.
She would start chopping up bar rooms, chopping up the beer barrels. She's a striking moral symbol.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yes.
They would protest alcohol.
The largest women's organization in the country, the WCTU had led the crusade to ban alcohol.
And all the evil that it was causing, and that's what's triggered the United States banning alcohol.
Prohibition in the United States was the government's attempt to outlaw the production, sale, and shipment of alcohol and intoxicating alcoholic beverages across the country.
Well, here's the.
But you weren't trying to now change any laws or anything. You were just trying to get Muslims to live by Islam, by their religion.
Actually, yeah. And the point that you brought up, I would like to draw a parallel.
Yeah.
Those people who were protested those things before, they weren't Muslim.
No.
Right? So it would seem to me that if those enemies of what I'm saying, opposed to what I'm doing, if they were really serious about their religion, because I believe that Governor Abbott, I think he's a Christian, Ted Cruz, I believe he's a Christian, some others, if they're really serious about their religion, they should have been protesting before me to the other stores that are owned and operated by Christians who are violating their book. Because the Bible, in Leviticus, the 11th chapter, the 7th verse, do not eat the flesh of the swine nor even touch his dead carcass. You know, and the prohibition against fornication is in the Bible. The prohibition against defiling your own flesh is in Corinthians in the Bible. So they should have been protesting and say, you're going against your book. Why don't you just respect our book? That's all I'm doing. I'm going to these people. I'm going to these merchants. And I'm just telling them, I said, look, you're a Muslim. Why don't you just respect your book, the religion that you say that you adhere to? Now, the thing about it is to show the contradiction. I believe, and I really pity these politicians, because they're so desperate to find something wrong with Islam, that they are just trying to find anything. It's bad enough that they try to demonize Islamic terminology, you know, like the Sharia. They try to demonize it like it's something horrible, you know. But actually, if I was to go, and the Sharia is based on the Quran, if I was to go into the stores, Brother Eddie, and just say, why don't you make sure that you pray five times a day? Why don't you go? Why don't you leave your business and go to pray Jummah prayer on Fridays? Why don't you fast during Ramadan? These things are part of the Quran, and the and Sharia is built on that. If I was only saying that, they wouldn't have said a word. But because I mentioned something that impacts their economics, now they're complaining because they're worried about money. They're worried about dollars. Because anything else according to Islam that I would try to remind the Muslims of, they wouldn't have a problem with it. But because I mentioned something that impacts the economics of America, impacts the economics of these capitalists, these capitalistic politicians, now they're whining and complaining. And another contradiction is they don't even like Muslims. Now all of a sudden they want to defend the Muslims. I'm only talking to the Muslims. And first of all, Brother Eddie, I wasn't even talking to them.
Muslim, right? Mashallah. You know, as a merchant, you have every legal right to sell whatever you want. But as a Muslim, I have a responsibility to tell you, to educate the people and let them know that as a Muslim, you shouldn't sell haram. That the alcohol, the pork, the gambling, is all against Islam.
Why are they complaining? I was talking to the Muslim. That's a family affair. I'm just letting them know. I said, look, you say you're Muslim? Be serious. And they're complaining about me trying to correct and influence and properly and correctly influence someone who they don't even like. Why do they even care? If my father was alive, he'd probably give him a whooping for buttoning grown folks' conversations. Because I wasn't talking to, I'm talking to the Muslims. And all I'm saying is, and they're using words, they're so desperate, they're using words, they're exaggerating and lying about my approach. They're saying that I'm encouraging a boycott. I'm not encouraging a boycott. I never said, don't shop there. Not even to the non-Muslims, I don't say don't shop there. I said, the only thing I suggested is in some of the poor neighborhoods, the inner city neighborhoods, the predominantly black and Hispanic. I said, before you give them your money, ask them where do they live. That's all. And then I say to them, I said, if you say you're Muslim, just be Muslim. That's all. You know, so how do they call that a boycott? And then they got so desperate that wasn't working. So they started outright lying, saying that I'm threatening the life of Muslims, that I'll kill you, you're going to die. I never said
that. It went to that extent?
Yeah, you'll see it. It's documented. Listen, I don't have the right nor even the authority to punish somebody for disobeying God. The closest I came to having the authority to punish someone for disobeying God when I was raising my children in pre-puberty. If they disobeyed God, then that would mean they were disobeying what I told them to do. But I don't have a right nor the authority nor even the desire to punish somebody for disobeying. All I'm saying, I'm just a reminder. And the Quran even commands that I just give the clear message. That's the real issue. Mm-hmm. You know, and now they want to demonize Sharia. Like that's what we want to ban Sharia.
Governor Abbott should be ashamed of himself.
The ban on Sharia law in Texas is now strengthened.
The ceremonial signing met with cheers in McKinney. Governor Abbott.
That's impossible. It's a ceremonial ban, a ceremonial executive order. You can't ban the Sharia.
That radical Muslims want to bring Sharia to the United States.
Say what you want about Muslims.
It's going to be a Sharia law.
Sorry, Sharia law.
You know what Sharia law was or wasn't. Literally, Aaron, I'm sure as you know, it means do the right thing. It's an ethical code. That is all it means. People in the Western world have domesticated it, fornicated it. It's just this alt-right dog whistle to get people upset over things that don't exist.
Sharia law.
First of all, let's look at the definition. Sharia, it means law as ordained by God. The Sharia, according to the Sharia, if you want to ban it, The Sharia orders and commands that the Muslims respect and protect people of other religions. That's part of the Sharia. You don't want no protection? The Sharia commands that we protect and respect other people the way they want to pray and how they want to pray, as long as they don't interrupt our prayer. Right? Yes, that's the Sharia. The Sharia commands that Muslims take care of the wayfarer, the needy, the orphans, that we marry widows if we're able to, that we show respect to our parents, that we give a portion of our wealth to help needy people. That's the Sharia. That's the Sharia. So you want to ban the Sharia? Listen, if you have the authority, I would say to them, to ban the Sharia, I ban your ban. Your ban is illegal. You want to make the Sharia illegal? I'm saying that your ban is illegal. First of all, it doesn't even make sense that you want to shut down something that actually makes life comfortable for you, not only in America, but in the Muslim countries. Historically, the Sharia is what gave the non-Muslims protection and the respect. So I respect their religion more than they do. You know, so it's an insanity. So my question is, what else can you find? You need to find something legitimately wrong. If you can find something legitimately wrong with Islam, I'm ready to listen. Other than that, don't waste your time, because you can't make me deny the message that Allah has made me responsible to deliver.
So if you make a contrast, you have Christian Sharia.
Sharia law is almost identical to early Christian law. Sharia bans interest on loans. Jesus didn't just oppose it. He flipped tables and called lenders thieves. Sharia punishes adultery. So did Christian law for centuries. And what about modesty? Sharia says cover up. Christian tradition? Women wore veils in church for 1900 years.
You have Jewish Sharia, so you have many contrasts. If you put them together, you have what was given to Moses. Because I like to give these examples, because people make Sharia as like the boogeyman that's coming to get you. But if you look at the Ten Commandments that was given to Moses, this is the Sharia, right? This is God's law. And one time in history, you had Christians who are actually applying many of these same laws that are there. They just abandoned it for liberalism, and they've kind of turned their back. But you also have Jews who are also, they have their version. I've spoken to rabbis mm-hmm. themselves, and they have Jewish Sharia.
Yes.
It's the same thing here.
The problem, Brother Eddie.
And I like what you said. You mm-hmm. have prayer, being good to your neighbor, feeding the poor. You listed a bunch of things that doesn't come to their mind, which is actually Sharia, right? Smiling at your brother. Now they think of the penal code, the 1% there. They think of the penal code. They get all these distorted views about it. But when you kind of explain this in context, I mean, I spoke to one Arab Muslim imam, and he said that in the Arabic Bible, Sharia is mentioned over 200 times. You know, and today Christians who are Arabic speaking, they live by the their version of Sharia. They haven't had any issues.
The problem is that they're hung up on language.
Yeah,
it's a matter of language mm-hmm. Because the most effective dawah, when I'm dawah to propagate the religion, when I'm explaining to people about Islam, what I do a lot of times, I eliminate the Arabic and just speak English.
Yeah.
Muslim means one who has the nature to submit to God's will. That's the fitrah. You're born with the nature to submit to God's will, right? But they don't like the language, mm-hmm. you know. But if I tell them all of these so-called Islamophobia people, do you believe you have the nature to submit the will of God? They say, yeah. I say, well, that's what Muslim means. They want to demonize the word madrasa. It only means school. But if I say that you should go to a madrasa, they will have a problem with it. Jihad means religious struggle. It's not limited to talking about somebody going to war. Everyone is on a religious struggle, you know. And even these politicians, the governor and the senator and other people, they're engaged in a religious struggle.
Jesus did jihad when he flipped the money changers in the temple.
Because he was against gambling. He was against gambling, you know. So I'm saying anything. Here's the problem with America. And some other countries that are influenced by America, anything that impacts or affects the economics, they're going to have a problem with it. Mm. And that's the problem. If I would have limited, like as I said, if I would have limited my approach to these merchants and saying, wait a minute, you wasn't at Juma last Friday. You should go to Juma prayer. That's where your blessings are. So do you stop and pray during the day? Right? If I mention all of those things that don't impact the economics of these people, they wouldn't have said a word.
Why don't they say a word? Because you have faith-based protests every day. Usually, you know, it's a common thing. Christians who are protesting or what they deem immoral. We would agree, there's abortion clinics.
Yes. You know, and I have my own issues with dealing with the abortion issue. I just don't talk about it publicly. It's controversial, but that's not, I have bigger fish to fry.
How about the strip clubs and pornography? You have Christians who are also protesting in front of strip clubs.
Community has lived in our compound, located right behind the strip club, for over 70 years.
And this is faith.
You know why they don't bother them? Because they're not desperate to vilify Christianity.
Why don't say this is Christian Sharia? Now the Christians are trying to take over and.
Because of the language. Uh-huh. It's just the language. If we were to stop using the word Sharia and use God's law and just say that, then it would take the wind out of their sails.
Texas, I just heard that the governor, they're making it a part of the classroom to have Bible studies.
Bringing Christ into the classroom, and not everyone sees it as a blessing. The Texas Board of Education voting in favor of allowing access to Bible lessons in school. That vote taking place just a short bit ago.
Sure.
Have you heard of this?
Yeah, I heard that. You know, and I remember when I was still a young
That's
boy.
That's Christian Sharia.
When they
now.
Took you're prayer out of the schools. I remember all of that.
But this is technically Christian Sharia. It's synonymous. I mean, the wording you don't maybe agree with, but this is what it is.
Exactly. It's the language, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's the language. You know,
you see the double standard.
If there's Christians right now who say, I don't believe in Allah, I believe in God.
Uh-huh.
What are you saying? They're so confused. Actually, I pity them, Brother Eddie. They're solely confused. And I'm convinced, I'm thoroughly convinced, that the only people in this world who don't accept Islam is the people who don't understand it. I really believe if they will understand, there is only two type of people. Either you don't understand Islam or you're a devil. It's one of the two. Because once someone really understands Islam, they're accepting it. That's why Islam keeps growing. And the more negative things the media puts out about Islam, the faster Islam grows. Allah even says in the Quran, they think they could put out the light of Islam with their tongues, you know, but they can't do it. You know, and I'm not going to change my, they can't frighten me.
What does Islam mean?
Islam is a verbal noun, which means the act of submitting. It's a verbal noun, according to Arabic grammar. It means the act of submitting to a higher authority. That is Islam.
Did you hear the once golden boy of Fox News, Tucker Carlson, when he talked about this? Did you ever see
that? I missed that.
You want to see it?
Okay.
Okay, because it goes into what we're talking about. And this is somebody who was programmed for a long time, and he talks about how he was programmed about Sharia, and then he found out what it is, and he's like, well, hey, it's not too bad. And then same thing here. Let me, in his words.
But I remember hearing someone on, I worked at CNN at the time, and like we had all these endless experts, most of whom kind of worked for the CIA, but whatever, I realized that later. But I remember who it was, come on and be like, you know, Islam is bad. And I was like, sounds bad, you know, whatever. I don't know if I ever met a Muslim, but he's like, you know what Islam means? Submission. And like, let it hang in the air. Like, mm-hmm. That was self-evidently disgusting. And I was like, I kind of think submission to God is like the whole point of life. But I didn't say anything. I was like, I don't think I'm against that, actually. Like, anyone who submits to God, like, I'm just for that.
Your thoughts? you know who Tucker Carlson is?
I don't know much about him. Yeah. You know, I've seen him a few times, but I don't know much about him. I'm not qualified really to commit to comment.
What do you
on
think
him.
About what he just said?
It goes back to my point, brother.
It does.
Eddie.
It connects, right?
It's just language. Mm-hmm. You know, if we were to take away the Arabic and replace it with English. With some of the stuff that these people are trying to put, they want to make sure that Sharia is coming to America. I told you, Sharia has been in America. Law has been in America. If there's anything, if they want to ban Sharia, they should ban the Constitution of the United States.
which I when I talk to historians and who know who also are very well versed in the Constitution, they talk about, you know, that some of the Sharia is deduced, some of the points and some of the good things that are in the Constitution were taken from the Sharia.
That's what I heard. I heard that as well from reliable sources as well. Yeah. You know, that some of the former leaders and the constructors,
the founding fathers,
of the Constitution, Thomas Jefferson and others who actually read the Quran.
Yeah.
You know, they were highly influenced, you know, and they use it as a catalyst as well as a foundation.
You heard the same thing, huh?
Yes, I heard it several times. You know, but my main point of contention is the contradiction, you know, and the ignorance, you know, of actually saying that they're gonna this I saw myself that at a news conference the governor of Texas said that if him, Qasem Khan, or anybody else tries to bother these Muslims again, he should be arrested. You know, bother them. You know, the whole purpose of Juma khutbas and dars and talims and classes is to remind the Muslims to obey their God and respect their religion. And all I'm doing is telling them to respect their religion, you know, period. And I would tell, and if I was to be indiscriminate, I would go into the non-Muslim stores and tell them you should respect your religion. I would go into HEB and Kroger and Walmart and Costco and Sam's Club, and I would tell the owners of those stores, I said, you should respect your religion. You know, as a Christian, if I was to say that, what would they say? Ban the Sharia? What do they say? Ban the Bible? You know, insanity. I'm just a reminder. And they can't frighten me into changing or abandoning my message, Brother Eddie. I echo the sentiments of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he said, if you would put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left, I would not renounce my message. Because I'm very comfortable. I'm very comfortable. And my great-grandmother told me a long time ago, she was only in her 60s, and I'm a lot older than that now. I said, I ain't got too old to bite my tongue. You know, I'm just telling the truth. And I'm not threat. If they say that I'm threatening anybody, they're a liar. Mm-hmm. If they say that I'm calling for a boycott, it's a lie. If they say I'm trying to ban their stores, it's a lie. I'm only asking them to be accountable for their religion. And if they continue to do it, I leave them alone. And they're doing it. But most of the stores that I've been going to, in fact, none of the stores that I went into and gave them a reminder and a warning that we was just going to demonstrate, none of them changed their inventory. They're still doing the same thing. I'm not going back and forth arguing with them because I have other things to do. I did my job. On the day of judgment, when I stand before my Lord and he's going to ask me, did you warn them? And then he's going to ask them, did anybody tell you about this? You know, on the day of judgment, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, what Allah and his messenger enjoined you to do, do as much as you can. And that's what I'm doing. You know, I don't have the authority, nor the right, nor the desire to stop them physically. And do I go into their stores if I need to, if I need to buy some gas? Of course, you know, but I'm still going to remind them. And not only do I remind the ones who are doing wrong and making money from it, but I also, that same spirit is what I give to Muslims who don't even own stores, who I see doing something wrong. I said, why are you smoking that weed? Why are you even smoking that cigarette, contaminating the lungs that you don't even own, that God, Almighty Allah, entrusted you to use those to praise him? He said, I'm doing the same thing, only it's just not on YouTube. It's just not on TikTok. You know, and I'm telling the same message. When I give a khutbah on Fridays, I say you should pray your prayers on time. When Ramadan comes, respect the Quran. Respect your wife. Respect your children. Respect yourself. I'm giving the same message. So if they want to vilify me and demonize me for just trying to remind the people of faith, who happens to be the same faith that I have, worship the same God that I worship, follow the same prophet, peace be upon him, that I follow, read the same book that I read, and I'm just trying to remind them, just respect what you say that you are. And they want to call me a criminal. And so they want to say I'm illegal. They're illegal. That ban is illegal. I banned the ban. I'm saying ban the ban because it doesn't even make sense. Because we have a responsibility, and I'm not going to abandon my post. I was taught in the Nation of Islam, General Order Number 5, do not quit your post until properly relieved. You know, and I'm going to keep on preaching this message, whether I do it privately or publicly. Now, here's a message I have for the Muslims, though. Some of the Muslims, they mean well, but here's what they come. Here's what I've been getting virtually. Phone calls, emails, and in person. Some say, you know, you're supposed to hide your brother's faults. You shouldn't expose them publicly. I said, if I'm supposed to hide their faults, I need them to help me hide their faults. If they were selling the pork and alcohol and gambling out of the back door in secret, I wouldn't say a word. I would just talk to them privately like I've been doing for the last 40-some years. But they're selling it publicly. They're flaunting it publicly. They advertise it publicly. They have pictures of naked women advertising beer on the front of their stores, but then they have an ayat from the Quran over the cash register. They're doing all that publicly. So Allah even says in the Quran, he said, Allah loves not the public utterance of hurtful speech except by one who has been wronged. You know, I'm offended that these people call themselves Muslims and continue to flaunt publicly their disrespect for the Quran, their disrespect for the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm personally offended, but do I have the physical right to stop them? No, I don't have the right to stop them. If I did, I would, but I don't. So I'm going to the limit of my rights, the limit of my ability, and limit of my consciousness. I'm going to the limit, and I'm just reminding them. And once I remind them once or twice, they got two warnings from me, and I'm leaving them alone. One, I went and told them ahead of time. I said, look, I said, you're a Muslim. You should be using the best example. You should have better. You should change your inventory. I said, if you don't change your inventory, then I'm going to demonstrate. That was the first warning. The second warning is when I actually demonstrated. After that, I got other things to do.
Do you think if a Jewish organization, a Jewish rabbi, saw that there was a Jewish shop, someone who claims they're Jewish, but they are working on the Sabbath, and now they protested, they said, hey, to this Jewish-owned shop, they told them, look, you know, why don't you observe the Sabbath, for example. Do you think that the governor and other people like this Tommy, this extremist radical, Tommy Robinson, and others would be talking about the rabbi trying to spread Jewish Sharia?
That's a very fair but extremely hypothetical example, because they're not going to do that. They're not worried about them, because they're desperate to find something wrong with Islam. Mm. They're desperate, and every year...
But it's the same thing, isn't it?
Of course. Every year they get more and more... In fact, you don't have to go that far, Eddie. If an Orthodox Jew had a store, and they had anything in their store that wasn't even approved by the Orthodox Union, if it didn't have the circle U on it, they would protest them. I'm not talking about having pork. I'm not talking about having alcohol. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just diluting the high standards of the Orthodox Jewish faith. They will protest that.
Imagine these high concentration of Jewish areas in New York or UK, where they have their almost like their own police, ambulance. I was told, imagine if one of these shops was selling also same thing, pork, for example, non-kosher meat.
Just non-kosher.
What
just non-kosher. And I'm not talking. In fact, it could be kosher, but it hadn't been approved by the Orthodox Union, and they'll complain. That's how strict they are.
So now the question is, would these politicians, if the Jews, the Jewish people, the rabbis, start to warn these shop owners about not selling the meat that's not authorized, not kosher, not what would happen?
Brother, you asking Qasim. You need to ask these politicians.
Yeah.
You know, because I already know the answer. But I would invite you and anybody else to ask them a question.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them a question. You know, I mean, I'm waiting.
So we ask them. I'm asking them now. What would you guys do?
Yeah, ask them. Yeah, what would they do? But I want them to. They said I should be arrested. Come on. Come to me. Come on and arrest me.
You ready to go to jail?
What? Yes, sir. At this age, I'll get a break. I'll take a break from all this work I got to do anyway. But it would make a point. Incarcerating me over trying to remind the Muslims to respect their religion would make it such a valid point. You think Islam grew by leaps and bounds after 9/11? You think Islam keeps growing now because of the genocide in Gaza? You think Islam is growing now? You tried to incarcerate or punish or penalize even someone who's only reminding the people of their own faith to respect their religion, and you watch and see what happens.
Isn't this protected by the Constitution, freedom of religion? So you're doing what your religion is telling you to do, invite to good, forbid evil.
Yeah, and I'm not going to any extreme. They just didn't expect that. See, they didn't expect it. They didn't expect Jackie Robinson to hit a home run. They didn't expect Muhammad Ali to knock out everybody except in the ring. They didn't expect that. All of a sudden, it's a problem because people are beginning to think now. Of course, I don't have any examples of any merchants, Muslim merchants, that changed their inventory because of this. Mm-hmm. However, my conscience is clear now because I told them the truth.
Let me ask you this. This is this very extreme individual, this radical. Here in, he's been banned from many countries, and he's someone who, really ironic that you have even Elon Musk and others who have become his fans. I don't know if you heard of this, Tommy Robinson. So he's talking about you. So Tommy Robinson says, I want to get your response. Sharia patrols have begun in Houston, Texas. I've been warning for 20 years that what is coming to America, banned at every turn. He's got your picture here, mm-hmm. Alcohol, gambling, and pork. Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts on this? So this is that dog whistle we talked about, and he's talking about you here. What do you say? Sharia patrols have begun in Houston.
You know, to be honest with you, when I'm doing this particular effort, the term Sharia and even the Sharia itself didn't even cross my mind. It didn't cross my mind until they started saying it.
Yeah.
You know, even though that I lived the Sharia. About 5 years ago,
Jews lived their Sharia.
Yeah, they lived their law. About 5 years ago, I addressed the state legislator in Austin, Texas. You know, at that time, they were trying to ban the Sharia then. Uh-huh. And I told them that the Sharia is my life. If you think it's dangerous, then how come you're not bleeding? Mm-hmm. Because the Sharia is here to protect and defend anybody of other religions. You know, so this video they're showing of me, I never thought about Sharia when I was approaching them. All I thought about was the Quran. Even though the Sharia is based on the Quran, all I'm thinking about is the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. I said, you're going against the Quran. You're selling alcohol and pork and gambling. You know, you and some of you even have the pornography. I said, why are you doing that? That's against the Quran. You know, you shouldn't do that. You know, and I'm just letting everybody know that it's wrong because I'm trying to tell people about Islam the right way and you're contradicting it. So I just need to let them know that this is not correct, you know. And so I never thought about the Sharia. So he said, here it comes. Here comes the Sharia. You know, I told you this is a Sharia patrol. It's not a Sharia patrol. You know, it's an effort to remind the Muslims to respect their book. And it should be a hint. Of advice to the non-Muslims, the Christians and other faiths who have a book that they're not loyal to. You know, so it's a hint. I say, okay, so if I was a Christian preacher and I used to be one and I was going to the HEB or Sam's Club or somewhere and I was telling them, obey your book, obey your Bible, you know, follow your Bible, you're being contradictory. If I was saying that, what would they say? But again, they're just so desperate to find something wrong with Islam. They're trying to use this, and it's not working. Because people ask me, when are you going to do another patrol, do another demonstration? I said, when I find the time. I have other things to do. This is my whole world doesn't revolve around making demonstrations. My world revolves around inviting people to the good and encouraging them to forbid the bad. That's all my world revolves around. Now, how I do it, I may readjust how I do it. But right now, all I'm doing is making the point that people, no matter what your faith is, whether it's the Quran, whether it's Islam, whether it's Christianity, no matter what it is, that if you say you're something, then you should respect what you say that you are. And in this way, I'm talking to the Muslim. It's a family affair. I'm talking to the Muslims. I was not talking to the governor. I wasn't talking to the senator. I wasn't talking to these Islamophobiacs. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to the Muslims who say that they're Muslim. Either be a Muslim or not. You know, that's my message. I'm not going to change the message. And the only way I'll make, if I find the time, then I'll make another demonstration. Right now, I got work to do because I'm trying to feed the hungry. I'm trying to clothe the naked. I'm trying to give people hope and let people see the best side of Islam. And that's my job. That's my duty. And I'm going to die giving that message. And they can't frighten me with this, with these fake bans and all of that stuff. No way.
And this is coming from someone who used to be you're a former Christian yourself. So you know the Bible very well. And you know that many of these things you're talking about, this is a real important point. If you were calling them out, also saying, look, you Christians, live by your book, do what you're supposed to do, because also
right.
In the Bible, alcohol is forbidden. You also have pork's forbidden, gambling, all these things.
Fornication,
all these things.
Yep.
And it's interesting when Christians go to these strip clubs or they go to the abortion clinics or they go to any of these other places, a lot of these times these are secular institutions that are not representing Christianity, and they're trying to call them away from this to stop and impose this on them. But this is an important point. You're going to Muslims, Muslim-owned businesses, and you're just telling them, you know, pretty much calling them out. Don't be hypocrites. You know, live by what you say you represent.
It's so obvious. The contradiction is so obvious.
Have you spoken to any attorney? Is there any laws that are being broken?
I have two attorneys on our board at Master Tawheed. Two of the best attorneys in the whole state of Texas on my board. You know, and I'm sure if I'm saying anything wrong, they would stop me.
Yeah.
You know, and I asked them, I said, what am I doing? They said, if anybody bothers you, let us know. You know, because there's nothing, I would be easy target if I was to say something illegal or even threaten to do anything illegal. But they have to lie about me to make me look bad. See, they can't tell the truth about me to make me look bad. They have to lie. Of course, I'm not going to deny. Yeah, that was me telling the Muslim. And if you listen to exactly what I said, you know, they would have to lie about me to try to make me look bad. But the only people that will buy into that is the people who are also desperate for negativity. People desperate for negative sensationalism. You know, and that's the reason why I'm even more motivated. Because I'm very, very sure. Listen, there were people way better than me that were lied on. Way better than me. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was lied on. Jesus, peace be upon him, continues to be lied on to this day. While we sit here right now, he continues to be lied. They're way, way better than me. Musa was lied on. Way better than me. So I'm just an insignificant peon in the scheme of this whole thing.
Would you ever consider meeting with this... Governor Greg Abbott, he said, I signed, this is him referring to you, and he has a picture of you here in his tweet. He says, I signed laws that ban Sharia law and Sharia compounds in Texas. No business and no individual should fear fools like this. If this person or anyone attempts to impose Sharia compliance, report it to law, local law enforcement, or the Texas Department of Public Safety. This is referring to you. What do you say to this? And would you ever meet with him if he said, let's meet?
If he wants to meet with me, let him come to me. Mm-hmm. Let him play in my backyard.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to spend my energy, my time, or my money to go look for him, you know, and impose myself on him or anybody else. If they want to talk to me, just come to me.
What do you think he's talking about? Compounds and no businesses, fools like this, and trying to impose Sharia compliance. What do you think of
it's a contradiction. Uh-huh. I repeated this several times already. It's a contradiction.
Everything you said already.
If I would have limited my reminders to praying five times a day, giving a zakat to help the needy, taking care of orphans, marrying widows. If I would have limited my comments,
which is part of the God's law.
That's all part of the Sharia. If I'd have limited to that, if I'd have said, make sure that you respect all you Muslims, make sure you respect people of other religions. and give them their rights and give them their space. If I'd have just said all of that, there wouldn't have been no controversy, no threats, no empty bans, none of those crazy executive orders. There'd been none of that. But because I mentioned something that impacts the economics of their pocketbook, now they're upset. Now all of a sudden they want to defend the Muslim. They don't even like Muslim. Now they want, all of a sudden they want to defend the Muslim. You know, and now he wants to call me a fool. Okay, I'll take that. I've been called worse names by people better than that. You know, so I pray to Almighty Allah. The Allah gives me the strength and the stamina to keep working and the health and long enough life. And I pray that all people of good conscience will understand the importance of reminding each other. And Imam Shafi, Rahimullah, one of the great scholars of Islam, is reported that he taught his students, he said, if only one surah had been revealed out of the Quran, Surah Asr would have been sufficient to guide humanity. And in that one surah, there's a very short ayah. It's a very short, only three verses. Watawasaw bilhaq. Remind, influence, encourage each other to the reality. And that's what I'm doing. That's the Quran. I'm reminding you. So now I'm reminded, if I had the time, I would go down to the steps of the governor's mansion and say, I said, listen, you know, listen, you're going against your own book. You should respect your religion. I'm here to remind you. So the Quran says I'm supposed to remind each other. That's what I'm doing. I'm following the Quran. I'm doing what the Quran says. That is the foundation. That is the nucleus. And that is what the Sharia revolves around, the Quran. And so I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. So if you think that I should be arrested, arrest me. Don't just talk it. If, like I said in that movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, if you're going to shoot, shoot. Don't talk. Don't just threaten to arrest. Arrest me if you got something. Bring it. But come and play in my backyard. I'm not going down. I'm not traveling around trying to meet with you or call you on the phone or email or text you. Say, please come, let's talk. You want to talk to me? You come talk to me. And while you're playing, walk the streets of the hood with me. Walk the streets of the Fifth Ward with me. Look into the eyes of the people who rely on the Muslims that give them hope. Look into the eyes of the people who we're giving groceries to every month. The people on the street we're giving warm meals to, prepared meals. People were given free groceries and clothing and backpacks and disaster items. I want you to walk the streets of my neighborhood around my masjid with me. Look into the eyes of the people and you try to tell them that Islam is bad. You try to tell them there's something wrong with the Islamic law. You try to tell them something's wrong with the Quran. And you see what they say to you. Don't take my word for it. You walk the streets, if you have the courage, walk the streets of the hood with me. Where the gangbangers are, the drug dealers are, the prostitutes and ex-prostitutes are, you walk and look into their eyes and you try to convince them Islam is bad. Even the ones that have not accepted Islam, you try to tell them Islam is bad. And let's see what they say to you. Don't take my word for it. I'm done.
That's very powerful. So you see, Islam in action is cleaning up neighborhoods. It's actually faith in action, and you're seeing a positive results, obviously, because if the community is going to be defending, many haven't even accepted Islam, but these politicians are the ones who are corrupt and who are bringing upon disaster.
You know, I say to them, Brother Eddie, if you can't lick them, join them. Mm-hmm. If you can't defeat Islam, you can't shut me down, you can't silence me, you might as well join the party. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. You might as well give up, surrender to Allah, not to me. Surrender, go on, come on and accept Islam, because what you have is not working. It's not working. The world is falling apart. The world is diseased. The world is having serious problems. The world is crippled, and the only solution, Islam is not the problem. Islam is the solution. And what I want you to do is quit fighting it, quit struggling with it, and do whatever you can to assist it. And maybe you might have some hope on the day of judgment.
I want to get your reaction to, again, this is for people that don't know about him. He was the star of Fox News at one time, Tucker Carlson. And he was somebody who was, in the past, he was always talking negatively about Islam, about Sharia, God's law. And maybe we could see some before clips of Tucker Carlson. And now I want to get your reaction to what he actually, we had him give your reaction on what he said about Islam, but let's this term, because we're using this term Sharia, he's going to say something, he's going to comment on Sharia also. I want to get your reaction to that. How's
okay.
that?
Sharia law is bad, Seth. I don't know if you've heard that. It's bad. It's worse than what's happening in New York and Detroit. It's just bad. I don't know why. It's just like years of brainwashing. I just like Sharia law.
Well, in
sorry, Sharia law.
What are your thoughts?
It's another contradiction.
Yeah.
Sharia law is like saying law, law.
Uh-huh.
You know, Sharia law, when you say Allah, God, like saying God, God.
Yes.
You know, it's a translation of a very pure and comprehensive Islamic term that makes the people think and understand the importance of our obligation. Mm-hmm. See, when we say Sharia, when we just say law as a Muslim, then, but it makes us, okay, we got to respect the law. But to a Muslim, when you say Sharia, that puts a type of context on it that raise a level of responsibility, because it means something special. When you say Sharia, a Muslim thinking, okay, I got to obey God. It's not just law, you know. It's just like prayer and salat. Prayer, okay, you can do that anytime, anywhere, any direction, any language. But salat is specific. It's a specific method, organized, structured method of worship. That's salat. Just like nikah. Nikah and wedding is two different. It's same, but it's not the same. Wedding, okay, that could be anybody, anything, say anything, but nikah means that you are using the name of Allah and His Messenger, peace be upon Him, to put two families together, you know. And we could go on and on. Bowing or ruku and bowing is not the same, you know. It's similar, but bowing, you can do that anywhere. You can show respect for your martial arts teacher. In the Orient, they bow a slight courtesy bow. But ruku, you only do that only for God. And so when we think Sharia, that means that I'm raising my level of responsibility and my acknowledgement for the law to whatever pleases God, because some laws don't please God. That's why we have to have Sharia. God is not pleased by fornication, but there's laws to protect it. God is not pleased with alcohol, but there's laws to protect it. God is not pleased even with some homosexuality, but there are laws to protect it. God is not pleased with gambling, but there are laws to protect it. So when we say Sharia, that means that is a law that shows the respect and obedience to Almighty God. If they have a problem with obeying God, then that's a boat they're going to have to row. And that's something they're going to, good luck explaining that to God on the day of judgment.
Yeah, so in Christianity, it's often called canon law. And in Judaism, you have lahakha, or if I'm pronouncing H-A-L-A-K-H-A, which is basically Sharia. So this is very important. This is how I would do over the years, always explaining what these terms mean, because the language barrier and people not understanding, and then it's mm-hmm. people have been programmed to just like when you define the word Islam, Muslim, one who submits his will to the will of God, people are like, yeah, that's a good thing, like Tucker was saying. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that? I think that's what everybody should be doing. You should be living your life by that. But then you throw the word Islam and people, you know, they freak out. Same thing with Sharia, and we can give those examples. But I want to show you this. When you were talking about if you would have been just calling people to prayer and charity, but now that you're hitting into the economics, this kind of goes with that. Let's see what you think.
We work so hard to turn you against Islam. It's not about faith. It's about control. $1 trillion alcohol industry, gone. $500 billion gambling empire, collapsed. Billions in adult content profits, erased. The entire interest-based banking system, shattered. Think about it. If everyone embraced Islamic principles, modesty, discipline, financial ethics, their entire system crashes. Look around you. A generation drowning in desires. No self-control. No boundaries. Exactly how they want you. Because a disciplined Muslim can't be manipulated through desires. A disciplined Muslim can't be controlled through temptation. A disciplined Muslim stands strong against the system. This is why Islam remains the ultimate resistance against corruption. Stand firm on your path.
That's exactly, he's a man after my own heart, whoever that is. You know, realistically, the overwhelming majority of the problems that are infecting and becoming contagious throughout this world, it would be solved if the whole world would embrace Islamic principles. Yes, that's the Sharia, number one. How many millionaires, billionaires, trillionaires, there's some trillionaires that became trillionaires because of the pandemic. Imagine if all of those people, just those alone, would embrace Islamic principle of zakat, 2.5% of what's left over after they pay their bills. It would totally erase hunger, totally erase famine, totally erase it. How about in the Sharia, we're not supposed to, in the rules of warfare, we're not allowed to fight someone who's not fighting. That would eliminate genocide. That's not a war in Gaza. That's a rout. That's not a war. War is when there's two people fighting or two entities fighting. If there's a newborn baby, a pregnant woman, an old man, or somebody laying on an operating table in a hospital, a doctor trying to fix somebody, they're not fighting. They're just doing what they do as humans. But yet they get killed. And so if the entire world would embrace the Islamic principles, how about the modesty of women? If the women of the world, just the women, would embrace the Islamic principle of modest dress style, loose fitting clothes, you can't see through. Subhanallah. Imagine how much the moral crime would decrease if the women of the world, just the women, would embrace the Islamic principle of Islamic dress. How about taking care of the elderly? There are senior citizens in nursing homes where old people are getting neglected and just thrown off to the side. That will be eliminated because we're obligated to take care of them. How about all of the women who lose their husbands for whatever reason and no one to take care of them? The Islamic principles, the Sharia would take care of them. And so I would argue that instead of trying to get rid of or biting the hand that feeds you, instead of trying to contradict the very thing that the very hope that would bring together and galvanize the moral fabric of this world, instead of trying to vilify that and demonize that, why not join the party and encourage everybody, the same energy, governor and senator, the same energy the other so-called theologians are using to vilify Islam, if you use that same energy to embrace the Islamic principles, and you don't have to call it Islam. I don't have to call myself Muslim to act like a Muslim and to be righteous. I don't have to say that my religion is this. I don't have to say it. I just have to do it. And if you're willing to just put that down, that's use that same energy to invite people to righteousness, we could fix this broken world. But no, you don't want it fixed. You rather have the money. Okay. Keep it. It's your party, you play it. But I wouldn't want to be you on the day of judgment. You know, I'll take my chances with whatever you want to do to me, because I only fear my Lord Allah. Because Allah will protect me in this life or the afterlife or both. Do whatever you think you can do. If you think for 1 minute that you are more powerful than God, then go ahead, shoot your best shot. Because this brother is not playing.
Imam Qasim, I recently tweeted something. They've also convinced people that somehow, and this is what I elaborate to, and then I see someone like Tucker pretty much saying the same thing. So I'm going to read the tweet. And the tweet goes like this. It says, the devil's convinced the world that Islam is the problem. Not porn, not drugs, not gambling, not alcohol, not OnlyFans, not corruption, not wars, not racism, not broken families, not greed. These are what destroy the world. Yet Islam solves all these things. So it's kind of like not even focusing on working together to solve these issues, you know, and they ignore them, indulge in them. But then somehow Islam is the problem. If we just get rid of Islam, all of these problems, we'd have peace on earth. And then this is interesting from the same individual who discusses. I just want to play this real quick.
Like if you live in a world where people in your high school class are on OnlyFans, I'm not attacking those poor people who feel they have to do that or have been misled into doing it. But the people profiting from it are more dangerous and evil than Iran. And they're certainly more of an imminent threat to your country. Are you joking? It's not even close. So let's just reorient around honesty and truth and try to create a meaningful hierarchy of concern and threat. And the number one threat that we face is people becoming bad. That's the worst thing. You can't have a good country with bad people. And all of us have participated in that bad, including me.
And by the way,
and we should say that.
What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. You know, he's making some points. He almost tempts me to try to contact him, but he's making some points that actually, if these people really want a good country, you know, I mean, they're taking oaths on their Bible and all that stuff to get in the office, and they when they're in their campaign, they're making all of these promises and stuff. And they say they love America, and they put their hand over their heart and sing with emotion the Star Spangled Banner and all of that stuff. If they really love the country, really want the country to improve, they really want safe neighborhoods, because it sounds so politically correct that when you're running for office, say, I want to reduce the crime, I want to get more jobs, I want, you know, you're not going to do anything until the morals become intact. Nothing that is going to happen, because you got to get to the root of it. You cannot nourish a tree by putting water on a leaf. You cannot kill a tree by cutting off a branch. You have to get to the root of it. The root of the problem is the disrespect for the presence of Almighty God. And that's all I'm inviting the people to do. If they really want to clean up the country, if they really want to clean up the state, clean up their district, clean up their area, clean up the country, clean up the world, if they really want to do it, go to the root of it. It changed the way that people think. One of my late teachers, Imam W.D. Muhammad, may Allah forgive him, sins and give him paradise, he said, if you don't like the way you feel, change the way you think. You know, and so if they don't like the way the crime that's in the country, change the way it thinks. Listen, in 2013, I got a telephone call from the White House, from President Barack Obama's staff aide. His name was Paul Montero. They called me on my cell phone because I had just left the White House. I gave an address at the White House on gun control.
President Obama called you. President Obama.
Well, he was the president.
Wow.
Okay. I had just left the White House the week before because I gave an address.
You've been to the White House yourself.
Yeah, I gave an address about gun control. I was invited there with some other religious leaders from different religions from around the country. And so Paul told me, he said, we want to give you a call, you know, later. So I didn't think much about it. So my cell phone rang in the car, and the president was on the line. He said, just be honest. What do you think I could do about gun control? I said, you want to know the truth? You want me to just say something to make you feel?
So this is President Obama talking to you directly?
Yes. But with him and Paul Montero was on the telephone. I said, well, can I tell you the truth, or you just want me to say something to make you feel good? He said, I always wanted you. I said, man up. I said, there's laws. You can make laws.
Who are you telling the man up?
The president.
You were telling President Obama to man up.
Yeah. I'm sure it was recorded. They record everything else. Negative report that. I said, there's countries I've been to where guns are illegal. In South Korea. There's countries that I've been to where you can't even own a gun. I said, this country has the power to really control it. But there's too much money to be made off of crime. You make money off of prison inmates. You're warehousing inmates. You're making laws easy to break. You say laws guns are illegal, but you keep manufacturing guns, handguns and zip guns and machine guns and all of that stuff. Just do what you have the power to do. If you want to change America, but you first before you do that have to change the way people think. Because it's not the guns that kills people, it's that forefinger behind that trigger, you know. So thank you for your advice. We'll take it under advisement, you know. And that was it. But everything's still the same. The more things change, the more they stay the same. I doubt very seriously if these politicians really want to clean up America, because a clean America will reduce their paycheck. A safe America will reduce their paycheck. And I was in Tokyo, Japan. And in Tokyo, Japan, the people of Japan, they respect the law so much that in the middle of the night, if the light is red, they won't walk across the street until the light is green. The police department in Tokyo, this was back in 2016 or something like that. The police department was putting on demonstrations in front of the chief of police house because they were bored. They didn't have anything to do. They were bored because no one was breaking the law. So they started creating some laws to give them something to do. They made smoking outside on the street illegal so they could have something to do. if you walk too slow, and they will call it loitering. You know, so this world can be corrected if the people who are in power, the powers to be, would own up to the fact and just admit that it takes morality, it takes religious stamina, because any government that that's not religiously motivated, has no government at all. Mm-hmm. Because you have to have some type of moral consciousness in order to affect the safety and the security of any community.
I think we covered a lot. Is there anything else you wanna say? I think anybody who's sincere and looks at this and sees what your intentions, what your mission was all about, they can, if their minds are open, they can relate. You're trying to invite people to not be hypocrites, to live by the way of life that you profess, that you live by Islam, if you're Muslim, and this is how it kicked off with that viral video. Is there anything else you want to add to it before we conclude?
I think the best way to conclude would be to echo the sentiments of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said two things. One, he said, if you see a wrong, correct it with your hands. If you're prevented from correcting with your hands, then speak out against it. If you're not able to speak out against it, at least hate it in your heart. And of course, we said that's the weakest of faith. Now, I'd like to connect that with his tafsir, or his explanation of the Quran, when he said, what Allah and his messenger forbids you to do, stay away from it. That's what I'm telling the merchants. And what Allah and his messenger enjoins you to do as much as you can. That's a message to me and others who understand. The first part is, what Allah's his messenger forbids you to do, stay away from it. Allah forbids you to enjoin or to sell, buy, traffic, or use alcohol or pork or anything haram. He said, forbids it. So he says, stay away from it. The second message for me and those who believe and understand what I'm doing, do as much as you can, what he enjoins you to do. I'm doing much as I can. I'm speaking out against it. I don't have the authority to stop them, but I do have a responsibility to go to the very threshold of my ability and my rights, and that is just to remind them, do as much as you can. So I remind them. So I'm telling all the Muslims and all the non-Muslims who understand the importance of a religious struggle for morality in this country and throughout the world, do as much as you can.
There's just one more thing came, because it's obvious. I mean, if you look at alcohol and all the destruction that it causes, because there's wisdom why certain things are prohibited. It's very clear. I mean, we don't have to get into that. Alcohol, the gambling industry, how much money it makes, how many homes and societies, I mean, just it destroys homes, destroys families. But here's one thing, and this is a Christian speaking, and I want to just play this real quick, because it goes into the other one that maybe people don't know about, many of the disasters that happen with pork. And this is one of the most famous nutritionist who is a devout Christian speaking.
In fact, according to a CDC study, they said pork is the primary source of trichinosis infections in the entire world. It's also one of the top for tapeworms, according to the World Health Organization, CDC. It's one of the top sources of toxoplasmosis. And from a biblical standpoint, when you read Leviticus 11, 7-8, here's what it says. And the pig, because it parts the hoof, and is cloven footed, but does not chew the cud, it is unclean for you. You shall not eat any of their flesh, and you shall not touch their carcasses, for they are unclean. So there are so many reasons not to eat pork. Pork carries parasites. Pork has poor detox channels. The Bible recommends you not eat it. Science supports this. Functional medicine lens, pork is also very high in omega-6 fatty acids. It doesn't have omega-3, so it's inflammatory just in terms of their tissues themselves. But there are a lot of reasons not to consume pork.
It's interesting that Dr. X, he says the Bible recommends that you don't. But when he quotes the verse, you don't get that. It's saying stay away from it. It's not recommending. It's saying stay away. It's haram. I just wanted to bring this point, because he's one of the top nutritionists in the world, and he's pretty much cautioning people stay away from pork.
You want me to respond to that?
Go ahead, yeah.
I'd love to. And I'm going to try to do this very briefly. When I was in the Nation of Islam, that was my journey to pure Islam. All those facts you were talking about, trichinosis and all of that, we were taught that back then.
Yeah.
But we were taught that was the reason. We were taught in the Nation of Islam that the reason we eat pork is because of the trichne worms and all of that stuff, you know, and all of that, and you can't be poisoned and all that. But it was only when I was introduced to the Quran and the Sunnah that I've learned that it's more important. The best reason for doing anything or abstaining from anything is to please God. That of course is just like smoking cigarettes is, you know, it contaminates your lungs and it puts cancer all throughout your blood and all. Of course that's bad. Of course alcohol ruins your liver and all that. Of course all of that scientific medical stuff is true. But the number one reason why a Muslim or any righteous person avoids those things is because to please Almighty God. That is my motivation. That should be everyone's motivation, even the Christian's motivation. The Christians try to tell me, when I quote that verse from Leviticus, many of the Christians tell me that's an old Mosaic law that Jesus did away with. That's in contrary to what Jesus, peace be upon him, is reported to have said in Matthew 5:17, when he said, "Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets, but I came to fulfill." You know, and when I say assalamu alaikum, you know, and he says shalom aleikum, you know, that means peace be upon you. He said in the Beatitudes, and he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And so it's of course the Bible says it. Of course the Torah and the Injil, which is the New Testament. Of course the Psalms and the Quran, all of that is very specific about why we should not do, but we're not paying attention to that. We should avoid those things that are detrimental because God said it. The medical benefits is a windfall. That's gravy. But the main benefit, because when we face God, he's not gonna ask us how many vitamins we took and all of that stuff. You know, is it, did you obey my laws? And if you disobeyed, did anybody tell you who stopped you from obeying me? And then we'll use the excuse, the Quran says, oh, we was weak and oppressed in the land. He said, did not Allah make the earth spacious enough for you to move yourself away from evil? You know, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do wrong. God will not allow your family to suffer for obeying him. Sisters, when you don't, Allah is not going to let you suffer because you choose to cover your hair. You merchants, Allah is not going to let your family starve because you refuse to sell pork and alcohol. He's going to take care of you. He's not that type of God that will punish someone or allow someone to suffer for obeying him. And either you'll be rewarded in this life, rewarded in the afterlife, and sometimes both. And even tells in the Quran to make that dua to him, make a prayer to him. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Oh Allah, give me good of this life and the good of the afterlife, and save me from the punishment of the fire. You know, so all of these people pretending to be religious, these politicians statewide and district wide, and they shut down their, they go to church for 1 hour on Sunday and pray, or they make a short prayer before they eat. But we have Muslims, according to Sharia, based on the Quran, not only do we pray, you know, once a week at Juma and five times a day, but every time we think about God, we pray into him and we asking him to bless us and protect us and to help us. That's constant dhikr, because Allah says in the Quran, the remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing in life. How can you say you remember God by whatever name you choose to call him by? If you want to dispute against someone who's trying to remind people to think about God, rather than to waste your breath trying to vilify me and try to make me illegal, you should be getting on your knees praying to whatever God you worship that I don't decide to run for president. Because if I do, I'll win, because I know what America needs.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, if you're a Christian, you're a practicing Christian, and then Muslims are actually calling people also away from what your own Bible prohibits, you should be actually praising this individual and working with them. It's just, hate is blinding people. The hate is blinding people. Let's close with this. What's the main message of Islam? Is Islam a new religion brought by Muhammad? What's the main goal of Islam? We talk about something. What's the main message that it's built on?
In a quick response, the main message of Islam is to always live your life completely submitting to the presence, to your belief in the importance in the presence of God. That's called taqwa. Taqwa actually literally means the total respect for the presence of Almighty God. You know, and that's what Islam invites everybody to do. Everything that we do, say, or people we associate with, the things we wear, things that we decide to eat, what we call entertainment, we should always consider the pleasure of Almighty God first. That's what Islam teaches, you know. And if a person is going to deliberately and emphatically deny, that's being arrogant, deny the importance of God's rules. You know, that's what makes him a devil. Iblis, God made Iblis a devil because he denied the obedience to God. He said, it didn't matter. I know you created me from fire. You created him from clay, you know, but I'm better. You know, that was my reason. I'm not sorry. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, that's the way they feel now. You know, if I go back in those stores now without complaining, they'll smile and wave at me, you know, ring me out at the cash register for the potato chips or whatever I decided to buy in there, or the milk or whatever. But the reality is they're saying by their actions, you know, it doesn't matter what you say, it doesn't matter what God says, it doesn't matter what Muhammad, peace be upon him, says, I'm going to do what I want to do, you know. And that's the arrogance. So we want to tell everyone the main message of Islam is to always consider the pleasure of God, period. Khalas.
Imam Qasim Khan, thank you. Thank you
My
for
pleasure.
Come back on the program to clear up all of this and help give a better context, a full picture on what was going on.
I hope it was helpful.
Very helpful, yes. JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
And for you, I want to give you a gift from me to you. And I encourage you, read the Quran for yourself. Go to thedeanshow.com and we'll give you one for free from me to you. Thank you for tuning in. Subscribe if you haven't already. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.